Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, on this morning. Praise the Lord. I give you glory and honor for the name of Jesus Christ that is highly exalted. And I thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit that gives instruction, the word of God that gives light and understanding. Let that light shine our hearts, even on this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I will wrap up these, to know him series today by this lesson. The knowledge of the Son of God. Is it by education or by revelation? You know, so that's what we are going to talk about. Hopefully it won't be too long. You know, from the beginning, the Son of God was there. Although not much was said about him throughout the Old Testament. I mean, you know, he couched himself, you know, we didn't know too much about him until he made some references. There's a few places where someone said, well, you know, I mean, Nebuchadnezzar, while he was looking at the three Hebrew boys that were throwing the fire, I said, well, you know, did we not throw three men bound into the fire? How come I now see four men loose? And the form of the fourth one is almost like the Son of God. Well, back in the day, you know, when they saw an angelic form or something that they didn't understand, sometimes they knew it was the angel of the Lord. Sometimes they thought it was something else, but they really didn't understand, you know. But, you know, the Jesus, when he came, he began to explain it to us. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, and verse 4, this man would ask a question, you know. He would ask a question here. He said, who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Or who hath bound the waters in a garment? I mean, who has established the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you can tell it? You know, so even, you know, the spirit, the prophetic spirit was upon this man when he was writing this prophecy. We're told these words, these particular words were written by someone called Agur, who was the son of Jake. He wrote this prophecy and he asked this question. Even back then, when the Son of God wasn't really, you know, God wasn't, hadn't, you know, taught or manifested himself to the people as the Son. You know, most of the time he was, you know, he revealed his name throughout the Old Testament. But this man is asking the question, well, do you know God's name? You know, people wanted, what is your name? Even Moses asked, who shall I say sent me? What is your name? And sometimes people will see an angel, like Manoah, see an angel, say, what is your name? So, why you ask after my name, seeing that it is secret? The Lord will say things like, well, I am that I am. Well, that means the self-existent one. And, you know, how do we figure it out? Well, but, you know, here's the question though. What is his name? And what is his son's name? If you can tell it. Way back in the Old Testament, this prophecy was given and it was revealed. So we know the Son of God was coming. But we didn't quite know, you know, what it would look like. Well, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 tells us that, you know, there's going to come a time when the Lord will do something. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, call his name Emmanuel and all of that. You know, now, before any of all of that, Revelation 3:15 promised us the seed of the woman. But quite honestly, nobody knew what that meant. You know, the Lord dropped it there and nobody really knew what it meant. Well, along came some prophets and they began to drop some insights here and there, you know, but still nobody knew too much. Now, here is Isaiah. Isaiah is going to be very bold. You know, Isaiah is sometimes very bold. Yeah, he's the same one that told people, look, you have ears, but you cannot see. And God has darkened your understanding. You know, you have eyes, I mean, that you cannot see. You have ears, but you cannot hear. You know, and I will do a walk in your days, a wonder, and you shall wonder, and you might even perish because, you know, you have not learned the truth. And he's very bold. And he said all that things about also that the Gentiles shall find the light. But here's one of his bold statements by the Holy Spirit in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. You know, we begin to figure something out here. He said, look, you know, for unto us a child is born. And, you know, we've quoted this so many times. People should know it by heart now. You know, unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. So we begin to have, an idea, inclination that the son, some time there is coming a son, this child that will be born will be a son. And a lot of things, you know, about him. Here are some of the things he said. Well, the government shall be on his shoulder. We're reading Isaiah 9 and 6. And what are the various names? He said, well, his name. Remember, the prophecy in Proverbs 30 and 4 says, do you know his name? Can you even tell the name of his son? Well, here he says, well, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. I mean, so we begin to see some things about who this son that is to be born might be. He will be called Wonderful. He will be called Counselor. So that's like instructor. We can see some roles there, which later on, I mean, most of these people hearing these prophecies didn't understand it. Maybe not even Isaiah understood it fully. He spoke as was moved by the Holy Ghost and revealed it. But, you know, nobody fully understood it. This son that will be born will be the Mighty God. Not a Mighty God, but he will be the Mighty God. This son that he will be born will also be the Everlasting Father. Now, you know, that gets confusing because he's the son and he's the Everlasting Father and he's the Prince of Peace. You know, I mean, if he is the prince, then obviously his father would be the king. But how can he be the prince and be the father at the same time? Well, it's a mystery. He just dropped it there. He didn't explain it. And he left it like that. And other prophets began to speak about it. You know, Micah spoke about it in the book of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. He revealed something. I mean, the scribes and so forth will figure this out later. You know, when Herod would ask, where will Christ be born? They would search the scriptures and they found this place. They found this place. You know, in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, he says, but thou Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is to be governor. Now, remember, the government shall be on his shoulder. Whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now, he didn't just set up shop, but this person that is going to be born, we know where he's going to be born now. We're told he's going to be born in Bethlehem. You know, so when the scribes will search the scriptures, the determining of them, I mean, Herod said, look, where will Christ be born? And they began to search the scripture. They found this place. They said, well, he'll be born in Bethlehem. Because this scripture said that. And these people, they trusted the scriptures. They knew the scriptures couldn't be broken. They may not have understood it all. But they knew whatever the scripture said, that's the way it was going to be. That's why they're called scribes. I mean, they research those things. You know, and so the Lord came, as we know. He was born in a manger, born through a virgin, just like Isaiah 7:14 said, born in Bethlehem, just like Micah 5 verse 2 said. And then, okay, but if he fulfilled all those things, What about the other things that were said about him? What about him being the mighty God or the everlasting Father? I mean, what does that all mean? Well, we'll leave that alone for a bit. Let's ask a few more questions. Jesus himself, you know, one time, I mean, he came in. I mean, he already said, look, I came in my Father's name and you received me not. Another will come in his own name and him will you receive. Well, what was his Father's name? Well, let's leave that alone for a minute. Let's ask the same question that Jesus asked. In Matthew chapter 16, I mean, Jesus has been around with his disciples, right? I mean, he's, you know, he sent them forth. In Matthew 10, he sent them forth, go, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, he sent them forth. You know, you can read that in Matthew 10, 7 and 8. You know, and we find out that, you know, he's been around them. He's been teaching them some things about the kingdom and so on and so forth. So on this particular day, he chose to take an opinion poll. He said, look, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This is Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Now, why was it important for Jesus to ask this question? You know, I mean, why is it that people need to know? You know, why did he himself want to know what people thought of him? These are questions that we need to discover. So Jesus asked this question. What are people saying about me? Who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, of course, he referred to himself as Son of Man. He didn't tell himself, didn't tell them Son of God, you know, because he didn't want to give them a clue. So he said, well, you know, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? And that's how Jesus referred to himself for the most part, called himself Son of Man. Well, and then they said, well, some people say you are John the Baptist. Other people say you are Elijah. Some people say you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets and so on. And Jesus said, okay, but what about you? Whom say ye that I am? And again, you know, there has to be a reason why Jesus is asking this question. Jesus never played with words, so just vain words. So why was it important that the people should know who he was and that Jesus himself wanted to know what they thought about him or who they thought he was? And so Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, wow. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar Jonah. Now, this is where this lesson is taken from today. For flesh and blood, you could not have learned it academically. You could not have known it by being taught of men. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So right away, we see that to know who Jesus is, the revelation has to come from the Father. And Jesus said, this revelation is so critical, you know, that I will build my church on it. Some people thought that he was talking about building the church on Peter. He could never build the church on Peter. Peter was as shaky as they come. He built his church on this revelation of who the Christ is. That's it. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the one, you know, I mean, holds everything together. The prophets, the apostles, and so forth, they laid the foundation. We were told that Jesus is that chief cornerstone. And that's what it's all about. From the moment that Jesus arrived, we began to learn a lot of things, you know. And throughout, even before he came, there were many things written throughout the books of the Bible about who he was. But shrouded. People didn't really know. You know, Kingsman, Redeemer, and so forth in Ruth. And many other things like that. But, you know, nobody really understood. So now Jesus is saying, you cannot get this knowledge, you know, except by the Lord revealed it to you. You know, one time in the book of Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent out his disciples. And you know, they came back and said, Lord, this is amazing. I mean, the devils cry out, you know, and so forth, you know, and they've done all these things, you know, and they said, look, 70 of them he sent out. He said, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. This is Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. And then Jesus told them something. He said, well, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give unto you power. Tread upon serpents and scorpions and all these things. Power the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless. Now, he said, notwithstanding, rejoice in this not, that the spirits were subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, right after that, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemeth good in thy sight. You know, and he's going on to say, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is. This knowledge of the Son of God, which is so critical that even Jesus was asking, what are people saying about me and what are you saying? Nobody can get it. Nobody knows it. Only the Father. And nobody knows who the Father is. Only the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. So that's it right there. Same thing is spoken of in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 27. Said the same thing. You cannot know who the Father is. You cannot know who the Son is, except by revelation. You can go to school all you want, but it cannot be taught by the precept of man. And then many questions remain. In fact, since I've been talking about the knowledge of God, people have sent me questions in the back channel. Many questions remain. There are many scriptures throughout the Bible where you see the Father and you see the Son. And even Jesus, when he came, all his whole mission was about the Father. That's it. He said it with his own mouth. The Son can do nothing except what the Father shows him. I come not to represent myself, but to represent the Father. He was always talking about the Father, the Father, the Father, your Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father. And so we cannot deny the Father or the Son. Now, some people, when they try to understand the oneness of God, you know, they get confused. They might say, well, there's no Father, there's no Son, there's no Holy Ghost. Of course there is Father. And of course there is Son. And of course there is Holy Spirit. But it's the self same spirit. There is no mystery. Let me just drop this. There's no mystery in three different persons. Yeah. I mean, I can count three. There's no mystery there. You know, and actually, you know, let me be so bold as to say the doctrine of three gods is not a mystery. It's more like a monster, because God is not three. God is one. You know, so we can't preach a three-headed monster to the Jews and think that they will take it. God is one. Hear, O Israel. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4, the Lord your God is one Lord. Well, then why is Jesus make it so confusing? Well, because there has always been the Father and there has always been the Son. Don't make any mistake about it. In the beginning, the Father had all this knowledge inside of him and he knew what would be needed to save mankind that would fall, even though there was no man yet. And so, you know, he already knew that he would send his own Son. Why, if he had a son, who was his wife? You know, so that's where this whole doctrine breaks down. You know, it's not that kind of sonship where a man gets with a woman and carries a child. You know, it's a offspring. The Father is the source, and the Son is the offspring. And Jesus would explain it in John 8:42. He said, look, I came forth or out and proceeded out of the Father. And if you can't explain that, if you don't understand that, he told them in John 8:24, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe it. But what does it all mean then? I mean, why is Jesus standing here always praying to the Father? And they're always telling us about it. Yeah, because there is the Father and there is the Son. But it's the self-same Spirit. You cannot count God in numbers like you count human beings. God is a spirit. Jesus said it himself. Can't number God. John 4 and 24 says, God is a spirit. You cannot number him in the natural like we number God. But if you're going to use numbers at all, then remember that the Lord our God is one Lord. That's it. Not three Lords. I mean, it's not that the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. No, the Lord our God is one Lord. He is the Father of us all. And then there is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was his redemptive role to the world. John 3:16 explains that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So the role in which Christ came in that redemption to the world was the Son of God. Now, the angel Gabriel when talking to Mary, announcing that she will be pregnant of the Holy Ghost, explains something that is critical. He said, look, because he said, I mean, she said, well, I mean, I don't know a man and so forth like that, you know, high in the world, you know, and the angel said, well, you know, don't worry about it. The power of the Most High shall be upon you. That's what he said. And he said, therefore, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Let's read it in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. Now, every child that is born, if he's male, it's got to be son of somebody. If he's female, it's got to be daughter of somebody. Well, so who is this son? I mean, who is this child to be born of Mary? Whose son is he going to be? Is he going to be the son of Mary? Of course, he's not the son of Joseph. We know that because, Mary had never even gotten with Joseph. But whose son is he going to be then? Well, remember, Proverbs 30 and verse 4. What is his son's name? If you can declare it. The son was with him from the beginning. It was all in his, mind of how to bring that redemption. So he said, look, this child will be born. You call his name Yeshua or Jesus. He shall be great and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. Well, because, once you are born, as a male child, you got to be son of somebody. So whose son will you be? Well, he said, the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Luke 1:35. Therefore, also that holy thing that shall be born of you. In case you are wondering, you call him the Son of God. This is it. Put it right out there. Son of God. Well, if that was God in the flesh, was heaven empty the whole time that Jesus was here? Absolutely not. Because you cannot number God in the flesh like we number things. Jesus was standing right here talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 13. And he said, look, no man. Now notice, no man, he said, has ascended up to heaven. Remember, I keep going to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4. It says, who has ascended or descended? Well, Jesus is answering the question here. No man has ascended, you know, and except he that came down from heaven, you know, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, that is confusing because Jesus is standing right here talking to Nicodemus and saying that the Son of Man is in heaven. I mean, that is, why did God allow these things to be apparently so confusing? Well, it's not confusing in the mind of God. It's confusing in our mind. It's not confusing to the Jews. The Jews know that there's only one God, you know, and when the Messiah comes, you ask any real Jew, who will it be? They'll tell you it'll be God. It can't be anything else. That's why they made light of Jesus. You know, because that part they didn't understand, you know, because they thought he'd probably come blazing from heaven and so forth like that. But, you know, that's who he is. You know, the Son of Man is standing here praying to God, the Father, all the time. He's standing here talking to Nicodemus and saying, the Son of Man is in heaven. And you know what Jesus said before he said this thing to Nicodemus? He was telling him about being born again. And then he asked him, he said, look, are thou a master in Israel and you know not these things? You know, he said, look, if I have told you of earthly things, this is verse 12. In John chapter 3, verse 12, Jesus says to Nicodemus, if I have told you of earthly things like being born again and so forth, and you don't understand it, how are you going to understand if I tell you of heavenly things? So now he's going to tell him, going to drop him one heavenly thing now. He already said, look, I just told you earthly things, being born again and so forth. You don't understand that. Well, what are you going to do then if I tell you heavenly thing? So here's one. No one has, ascended into heaven at any time. Now he's talking about heaven. Because he said, well, what are you going to do if I tell you heavenly things? Well, no man has ascended into heaven. That's a heavenly thing, you know, and except, you know, he that came down from heaven. So the one that came down from heaven has actually ascended into heaven. And he's called, he said, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven, standing right here and saying that the Son of Man is in heaven. Now, that is confusing. But that's a heavenly thing. And Jesus said, well, I told you earthly things you don't understand. What are you going to do if I tell you a heavenly thing? So here's one. Let me tell you. And he told him. And he didn't understand it. And neither did the disciples. None of them did. I mean, they went on and on and on. And Jesus was always telling me, in my Father's house, I have many mansions and this and that. I go to prepare a place for you and so on. So one day, Philip was going to brace himself and ask the question that all of them wanted to ask. You know, but they were not bold enough to ask it. So in John chapter 14, after Jesus is telling them that, look, I go to prepare a place for you, let not your heart be troubled, you know, and I'll come again in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and all of these things. Philip finally says to the Lord, in John chapter 14 and verse 8, he said, look, you're always telling us about the Father. You're teaching us, Jesus was always teaching the relationship. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. When you pray, say our Heavenly Father. When you do this, say our Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father, we do this, your Heavenly Father. I mean, always trying to teach them that. Okay, so this Heavenly Father that you're already always talking to us about, we see you, we don't see him. But you're always talking to us about him. Why don't you just show us him or show him to us and that will be sufficient? He said, look, show us the Father already. All this business and this mystery about the Father and so on. I mean, how long will you keep us, you know, guessing and wondering? Just show us the Father already. I guarantee you, many of them, in fact, perhaps all of them, needed to ask that question, but they couldn't ask it. They didn't know, you know, how to ask it. So Philip actually did ask it. And here was the response of Jesus. Now remember, Jesus Christ, the power and the wisdom of God. Now, some of the answers that Jesus gave to questions sometimes were just mind-boggling. Here is this one. Show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us. And here is the response for Jesus, of Jesus in verse 9 of John chapter 14. Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Father? He's not asking about you. He's asking about the Father. Why are you talking about not knowing me? You know, show us the Father. Show us the Father already. And Jesus said, look, all this time I've been with you, and yet you don't know me. Well, of course he didn't. If he did, he wouldn't have been asking. Neither did the rest of them. You know, their eyes were blinded. You know, the Lord did the best he could to teach them, but there were many things they didn't understand until after his resurrection. And he said, look, don't you believe? Believest thou not? I mean, he said, look, why is it then that thou sayest, show us the Father? Why are you asking me that, to show you the Father? Just think about that. Show us the Father is a simple request. I mean, why would Jesus say all this stuff? You know, have I been all this time with you, and yet you don't know me? Why are you asking me to show you the Father? Don't you believe? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? You don't believe that? Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, household of faith, the Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father. It's that simple. The fullness of the Godhead, Colossians chapter 2, not Godheads as in plural, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Christ bodily. Why? Because he pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You know, that's it. You know, scripture says it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Well, let's read the supremacy of Christ. Let's talk about Christ. I'm going to come back to the conversation of Jesus and Philip in a minute. But let's read what Paul had to say about these things. You know, he said, look, we give thanks, Colossians 1 and verse 3. And you will notice, if I start from verse 1, you will notice that throughout the epistles of Paul, Peter and the rest of them, this is how they describe the relationship between God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how they described it. They always said, you know, like Paul would say here, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way they always said it. Nobody ever said, and there's not a single scripture anywhere in this entire Bible where you would see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the same sentence. It's not in this Bible. I have searched it. It's not there. What you will see, though, is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't deny, you cannot deny, you can't say there is no Son or there is no Father. In fact, 1 John, you know, we're told in 1 John chapter, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22. Let me just read that quickly. You know, you cannot deny, you can't deny the Father and you can't deny the Son. If you do, you know, then what do we have then? You know, it would be, we're just confused when we do that, to say, oh, there is no Father, or oh, there is no Son. There is the Father and there is the Son. Here's what Jesus said. Here's what the scriptures say. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So we can't deny the Father. We can't deny the Father and the Son, lest we become Antichrist. It's a warning right here. So we can't do that. There is the Father and there is the Son. But the scripture does not refer to them as three separate gods. The scripture calls God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's the same spirit. When Jesus is the gift of God to the world, whereas Jesus is the gift of God to the world, the Holy Spirit is the gift of God to the church. Because Jesus said, the Holy Spirit whom the world cannot receive. Now, there are many people in this room right now, and many of us have the Holy Spirit. There are millions of believers around the world. Many of them have the Holy Spirit. How many Holy Spirit are there? We can't count God in the Spirit as we count human beings. In fact, there are some things that say the seven spirits of God and this and that and so forth. And people get confused about that as well. God is one. You know, the fundamental concept is, just remember, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. You know, once you remember that, all other things will dovetail. But I'm going to tell you something at the end of this too. It's like, look, you cannot get it. You can search out scriptures that apparently look like there are three persons, but scripture never said that. The scripture says there are three offices, because the Father is not really a name. You know, that's just a relationship, you know. And I'm a father, but that's not my name. I'm a husband, that's not my name either. I'm a pastor, but that's not my name. I've got a name, and so do you. You know, the Father, you know, yeah. In the dispensation of the Father, there was the dispensation of the Son. And Jesus said, look, except I go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. Why not? Why not? Because according to John chapter 3 and verse 34, the Holy Spirit was given to Christ without measure. When Christ was here, the fullness of the Godhead was upon him bodily. There wasn't anything else to spare, if you want to put it like that. But he said, look, it is expedient for you that I go away. Now, when I go away, then the Holy Spirit will be released. Now, when the Holy Spirit came, cloven tongues of fire split upon all the disciples. And now today, every one of us has the Holy Spirit. Our portion of the Holy Spirit. But Christ, according to John 3 and 34, did not have a portion. And according to Colossians 2 and 9, he did not have a portion. He had the fullness of the Godhead, singular, upon him bodily. So we cannot deny the Father or the Son. Now, whosoever denies the Son doesn't have the Father. You know, but either acknowledge the Son will have the Father also. So we can't deny any of these things. I've heard somebody say, well, you know, in their bid to try to defend the oneness of God, they said, well, there's no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Of course there is Father and Son and Holy Ghost. We have to tell the scriptures the way it is. Don't try to tell it any other way. Just say it the way it is. If you don't understand it, pray to the Holy Spirit. Pray to God, rather, that the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Because Jesus said, look, you can't get it by learning. That's why the title of this room is The Knowledge of the Son of God. Is it by education or is it by revelation? So Jesus asked Philip, why are you asking me to show you the Father? Don't you believe that the Father is inside me? And I am inside the Father? No, of course, Philip didn't believe it. At best, he didn't understand it. So Jesus began to tell it to them. And look, throughout the scriptures, especially in the epistles, we are being taught to focus on the knowledge of the Son of God. Wow. Why? Why is it so important? Well, God chose the Son of God as the place where divinity and humanity meet. And that's how he chose to deal with man. It's that simple. You can't question him who has known the mind of the Lord as you be his instructor. You know, that's how the Lord chose to do it. He said, look, in the volume of the book, it's written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. Well, prepare. You know, a body has thou prepared for me. You know, so there was a body prepared for the Christ. And that very Christ was the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. John 1:1. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You know, and so people are confused. Like, look, when Jesus was being baptized with the Holy, from John, heavens opened up. We heard the voice of the Father. Jesus was there. Holy Spirit descended upon him in a dove. And so people say, well, there are three gods right there. Well, the scripture didn't say that. If you say that, you say it. Scripture never said there's three gods. Scripture said, we heard a voice from heaven, and we see Jesus coming out of the water, and we see the Holy Spirit descending upon him. They didn't call it three gods. People that made that up. There's only one God. And Jesus himself said, look, this God that you think is your God is my Father. You know, and if you have known him, you would have known me also. But, you know, he said, well, search the scriptures. The scriptures will tell you. And he was always inviting people to search the scriptures. So, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 14, everything that we are now being told in the New Testament since the death and resurrection of Christ, how he's building his church, how he's equipping the church, how he's doing all these other things, the giftings of the ministries that God will give and all of these things. What is the purpose? Well, let's read it here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. You know, well, let me read from verse 10. Now that he ascended, or verse 9, what is it that he first descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he may fill all things. And he gave some, this is what we call the ministry offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What was their purpose? Well, let's look at their purpose. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For how long? Well, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So that's where it's all headed. We need to know the Son of God. What is it all about? We need to come unto a perfect man. We need to come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, because he was the blueprint of whom God said, you know, I will make them to be conformed to the image of my Son. And the idea was really, it wasn't about Christ in the mind of God. It was about the sons of God, Adam and company, you know, that God wanted to put his Spirit on them and then let them have rulership. But because the Lord already knew they couldn't do it, another Adam had to come in the same form and the same flesh in which Adam fell and do it over. So he had to do it. So if Adam could have done it, if Adam would not have fallen from the glory of God, if Eve would not have been deceived, if they would have stayed right there in the light, then there would have been no need for another son of God. God wanted to reproduce himself in man, period. But he already knew they couldn't do it because he had foresight of all things. And so he made provision that you will be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Glory to God. And God would choose the same, you know, Bible says in Hebrews 2 and 10 that, look, Christ did not take on the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham, you know, and God wanted to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So he put him in the same body. And the devil can say, well, they'll never do it. And he said, wait until you see the Christ. They'll do it too, you know. And the devil will say, well, yo, that was the Christ. And he said, well, yeah. And every one of them will be just like him. So that's what I said from the beginning. You know, argument, the devil has that sharp tongue when he goes up against the Lord. But the Lord always will show him from the scriptures. The sons of God will do it. They're coming to be conformed to the image of Christ. But we have to know who he is. He can't be like somebody you don't know. That's why we've been talking about this series. Now, so to know him, you know, let's see how John described this knowledge. Now, John was one of the disciples that was always hanging around Christ. You know, 1 John chapter 5. Well, how did John describe this? Well, this knowledge, you know, which, you know, sometimes some people say, well, this knowledge is too high for me. Well, how did John describe this knowledge? And this is what the scriptures Christ revealed is all about. Here's how John described it in John chapter, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And John had written many things, but here he's going to, you know, summarize in this place some of the things that he had written. So let's read how he explained this thing. He said, we know from verse 18, now whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We also know, he said, that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Well, what is this understanding? That we may know him. Well, this is what we've been trying to do this series. To know him. Well, that we may know him that is true. Well, and this is John's own confession. That, and he said, look, and we are in him that is true. Even in his son, Jesus Christ. Well, no matter which way you look at it, we put it all together. It's the same thing. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, this knowledge is what gives you eternal life. To know him, even his son. You can't know God except through his son, period. That's why Jesus was saying, all this time I've been with you, you still don't know me. You're not. There's no way to know the Father except you know me. It's that simple. So this knowledge is wrapped up in Jesus. And Jesus told the Jews, he said, look, this person whom you call God is my Father. If you had known him, you would know me also. And I come to represent him. And but my word is not in you. That's why you don't believe. And you can't understand me. But I tell you what, your father, Abraham, of which you say, well, you know, we're the children of Abraham. And Jesus didn't argue that they're not the children of Abraham. But he told them, you know, if you are truly the children of Abraham, you will not be going about to kill me. Your father, Abraham, didn't do this. In fact, he rejoiced, you know, to see my day. He said, who's going about to kill you? You know, did you not, we not say that you're a Samaritan, you have a devil? And they're trying to even dishonor him. Call him a Samaritan. Call him, he had the devil and everything. Jesus said, look, this your father, Abraham, that you claim to be your father, in the days of his life, you know, he rejoiced when he saw my day. Woohoo! I said, Abraham saw you. You are in your 30s. There is, I mean, Now we know they're really crazy. And he said, look, Abraham had a beginning, and at some point he transitioned. But before Abraham was, I am. And he put it out there. The eternal spirit right there speaking. You know, not I was, not I will be, but I am. And that's it right there. And so, you know, how then do you put it all together? You don't. You pray to the Holy Spirit. That's all I can say to anyone who still has questions, or you might find 50 scriptures that look the other way. That's fine. All I can say to you is pray and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. And whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, you stay with that, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives revelation. Yeah, you know, so you stay with whatever the Holy Spirit shows you. If you seek the Lord sincerely, he will show it to you. But let me read a few things to you that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. You know, lest you think that the Holy Spirit is some other God. Because some people say that God the Father is one God, God the Son is another God, and God the Holy Spirit is yet another God. Well, there's only one God. And there's one Holy Spirit, and that's the very God himself. We call him Holy Spirit when he drops down into our realm, and his acts in our realm make us think that of him as the Holy Spirit. But it's the very God. It's the very Spirit. There's no other spirit. You know, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters in the beginning. Same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the father of Jesus. That's what the angel told her, Mary. You will be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That's right. Whoever makes the woman pregnant is the father of the child. Well, the Holy Spirit will make you pregnant. That makes Holy Spirit the father of Jesus. It's just that simple. And if the Holy Spirit is different from the so-called God the Father, as we put it, then Jesus would have two fathers. God is his father, and the Holy Spirit in the natural realm was his father. Because the Holy Spirit is the person that made Mary pregnant. So now Jesus has God the Father as his father, and he has the Holy Spirit as his father. So which one is it? So we cannot number God like we number human beings. But let me read some things to you here that Jesus said. In John chapter 14, this same John chapter 14, he kept telling them, look, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 15. And I will pray the Father, you know, listen to this. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelt with you. Holy Spirit dwelling with them. It was Christ that was with them. And he will be in you later on. That's the Holy Spirit when he came on the day of Pentecost. Now he's with you. Later on, he'll be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming. And Jesus is switching it around as if he's the one that is coming. It's still the same Spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now remember, you know, he already said that he's going to pray the Father to send the Holy Spirit, right? And listen to this. Verse 25. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, keep that in the back of your mind. The Father will send the Comforter in his name. That's what he said in this chapter. Well, let's jump to the next chapter, John 15, same verse 26, and see what he says, you know. And in John chapter 15 and verse 26, he said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. In one place he said, I'll pray the Father and he will send you the Spirit. In another place he said, I will send from the Father. Let's keep this thing straight. This is why Philip and the rest were asking questions. But it's all the same thing. John chapter 10 and verse 30. I and my Father are one. And they took up stones to kill him, because you don't say that, you know. But Jesus will say many things. Destroy this temple and I will raise it again. How can you, being dead, raise yourself from the dead? You know, because the eternal spirit could never die. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. The spirit left him, the body died. And that was all in the plan. You know, God could never have died. That's not possible. You know, so that God had to do something that can die for our sins. He knew it all. You know, so he's going to put his spirit in the body of a man that can die. And while he's in that body, he will be called the Son of God. But in the spirit, he is the very God himself. Isaiah 9:6, you have to go back to it. That child that will be born is the mighty God. And he's the very everlasting Father. You know, well, you can't really call Jesus the Father, because Jesus himself was always pointing to another Father. But Isaiah said, yeah, he will be that very Father. You may not understand it, but he will be. He will be the Prince, and he will also be the Father. Well, that's a bit confusing. Well, how many gods will you see in heaven? People who think they will see three gods will be disappointed. Because hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. There will be no three gods. And in fact, there are some other religions that actually make fun of us. Islam and some other things. They say, we have three gods. And they make fun of us. You know, how can there be three gods? There's only one God. And he's the Father of us all. And then there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that does not take away from the oneness of the Godhead. It's a dispensational, you know. And now he's with us as the Holy Spirit. And, you know, so whether you say, and then you say, look, how should you pray? Should you pray to the Father? Or should you pray to the Son? Or should you pray to the Holy Ghost? And some people, because of Matthew, chapter 28 and verse 20 and things like that. This one scripture has a lot of people confused. They said, well, Jesus said, you know, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, he said that. You know, and teaching them to observe all things which I commanded you. He said that. But what is the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? He didn't say, for one thing, he didn't say you should pray. There's not a single scripture that says we should pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Even this scripture here is not talking about prayer. You know, so, and on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came upon Peter and he's breaking it down, they said, what shall we do? And now Peter, he heard this statement that Jesus made. He understood it. But the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he's now going to explain it. And he said in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 38, you know, he said, look, and he indicted them and told them that this same Jesus whom you crucified is Lord of all. But more importantly, he said, look, this is what you need to do. You need to repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You take Matthew 28 and verse 20 and you plug it into Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It's either the scripture is contradicting itself or those two scriptures are exactly the same. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I will argue that those two scriptures are exactly the same. When Jesus said baptizing, well, Matthew wrote baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, and Luke was the one that wrote Acts chapter 2. Luke wrote what Peter said, that said, you know, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Those two statements have to be exactly the same. They can't be different. If they were different, the disciples would have gone baptizing everybody in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You will not find a single scripture in the whole Bible, in the Acts of the Apostles, or anywhere else, where they actually baptize anybody in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They were always baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts chapter 10, Cornelius baptized in the name of the Lord. The book of Acts chapter 19, when Paul met certain disciples, you know, say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. On and on and on. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Everywhere. So, either the Spirit of God in Peter in Acts chapter 2 is contradicting the Spirit of God in Matthew, who wrote Matthew 28, or they're the same. Well, I don't think they were contradicting. I think they were the same. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, it's the same as in the name of Jesus Christ. That means that if you take those two sentences together, Jesus Christ, that name is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, as he's revealed to us today. You can call him Jehovah. You can call him all these names. But that's not the name that he's chosen to reveal to us now. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. There is no other name given under heaven whereby now we must be saved. There's only one name. Hallelujah. And God has exalted that name above all others. Now, do we argue the scriptures? Absolutely not. I'm not arguing here. I'm just teaching. And I'm going to close this in a few minutes. I'm going to tell everybody to pray. Pray that the Holy Ghost will teach you. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth come, he will teach you, lead you into all truth. And whatever the Holy Ghost tells you, hold on to that. That's what I say. Don't hold on to what I say. Search the scriptures, pray to the Lord, let the Holy Spirit tell it to you. And whatever he tells you, you hold on to that. Because you're going to be responsible to what the Holy Spirit tells you. You know, so, but when it's all said and done, Jesus came back on the Isle of Patmos and showed himself to John and said, I am Alpha and Omega. Same thing as I am that I am. You know, and I often say to people, you cannot be Alpha and Omega if you are the second person in the Trinity. You would be the second. You won't say I am Alpha and Omega. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, Jesus is showing himself to John and telling him that I am he, you know, I am Alpha and Omega, and I am he, you know, first and last, and so forth. I'm he that liveth and was dead. He told him the same thing in Revelation 1:11. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. You cannot be the first if you are the second. You cannot be the last if you are the third. I mean, all these things, you know, first, second, third, and so on. I am the first. That's the spirit, eternal spirit that was upon him that is speaking. So that's it. It's the very essence, the Godhead that's inside of him is now speaking. I am Alpha and Omega. You know, and it's not robbery. It's not stealing anything from the Father. You can read that in Philippians chapter 2. He didn't steal anything. You know, so he is God and God alone. And there's no other God. The safest way for you is pray and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. Now, if you understand that God is our Father, you do well. If you understand that there is one God, you do even well. Because James chapter 2 and verse 19 tells us the devil himself believes there is one God and he trembles. The devil doesn't believe in three gods. You know, James 2 and 19 will tell you that. The devil knows there is one God and he trembles and he knows who he is. You know, so if you believe in God the Father as the Father of us all, you do well. If you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you do well, because that's who he is. Now, if you are confused as to why the Son can say, I and the Father are one, and why the Son can say, I am Alpha and Omega and the first and the last, and does not call himself the second. If you are confused as to why Jesus could be standing there and telling Nicodemus that he is in heaven, if you are confused as to why Isaiah will call him the everlasting Father and call him the Prince at the same time, if you are confused as to why 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 will say to you, well, I tell you, you are not alone. It's a mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, great is the mystery of godliness. It's not that there is three gods. That's not a mystery. That's a monster. You know, the mystery is there is one God. Hallelujah. And he's the Father of us all. And he can manifest himself in a million different ways. And he's still the same God. Holy Spirit can be in a million different people. And he's still the same Holy Spirit. And great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's the very God. Elohim was manifested in the flesh. And he dwelt among us. And we saw him. He was preached on in the world and so on and so forth. I think everybody should learn 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. That will be our memory verse for today. You know, he said, without controversy. You know, there's no controversy about it. We're not arguing it. If you are confused, pray. The Holy Spirit will show it to you. And any way he shows it to you, that's the one you should hold on to. Not what I said, what he shows you from the scriptures. Hold on to that. You know, but I don't think he will show you that there's three gods. But that's contrary to the scripture. But whatever he shows you, hold on to that. Now, great is the mystery of godliness without controversy. No controversy about it. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on in the world, to Gentiles, believed on the world, received up to glory. We know that was Christ, but he's calling God. So, if God, the Father is God, and the scripture calls Jesus God, well, then that's two different gods. Well, that's why people are confused. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit is also God. Well, so now there's three gods. And so now we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's what people say. This is not me. I'm not saying it. You know, I'm saying it with a tongue in the cheek. It's what people say. But there's no such thing in the scriptures. You'll never find it. You will never find. If you find it in a Bible version that says God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in the same sentence, that's not a good version to read. You should throw that away. The Bible will tell you God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in all the epistles. That's how Paul saluted everybody. Last but not the least, the knowledge of God is the same thing that Peter was praying about for all the brethren in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. This is the very last writing of Peter. And he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him, that's our Lord and Savior, be glory both now and forever. Well, you know, why is everybody focused on Jesus if he's not the main man? Well, Jesus never claimed to be the main man. He submitted himself to the Father, but he indeed is called the everlasting Father. That spirit inside of him, you know, look, let me leave this with you as well. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Let me read this to you, and then I'm going to close it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You cannot know Christ in the flesh. When we knew Christ in the flesh, John was laying, putting his head on his shoulder and this, all this at lunch, you know, or dinner. Well, when he came with the eyes of fire, John fell down as dead on the Isle of Patmos. So here's how he puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And all of us know 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We know that. If any man be in Christ and so forth, we all quote that. But this is the verse that is just before that. You know, wherefore, he says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth we know him no more. No more after the flesh. You cannot know Christ now after the flesh. It's not going to work. Because now he calls himself Alpha and Omega. Doesn't call himself Son of Man anymore. When he came to John on the Isle of Patmos, he's not talking about Son of Man now. He's talking about Alpha and Omega. And, you know, if you find that confusing, you're not alone. Father, I pray for everyone that's in the room today. The Bible says, Jesus said it himself, John chapter 8 and 12, if any man come after me, he will not be in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness. All your children that are in this room listening to my voice today, either now or will listen to the replay later on, they will not be in confusion. I declare that their minds are clear. Hallelujah. I declare that their understanding is not darkened. I declare that they understand who Christ is and that we grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. And Lord, we know that this knowledge cannot come by education. Canst thou by searching find out God? Can thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Can't do it. But the Lord will reveal himself to whomsoever he pleases him. For thus he pleased the Father to hide it from the wise, the prudent, the educated, and then to reveal it unto babes. That's the Father's privilege and his prerogative. So Lord, we thank you because our eyes have seen the King. And at the end of the day, he's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he shall reign forever and ever. I pray the Lord will give us the grace to humble our hearts and search the scriptures. And that the Holy Spirit will reveal to each of us who Christ is. Remember, whom do men say that I am? But what about you? Who do you say that Christ is? May the Lord give us the true revelation. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no argument. There is no controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. It is a mystery, but it's not to be argued. It's not intended to be controversial. We've made it controversial. The scripture says there's no controversy. And I pray that the Lord will give us understanding. And if anything is still different in your mind, the Lord will reveal even this unto you. That's what the scripture says. I pray that the Lord will help every one of us to get this, the right understanding and the right revelation of Christ. And whatsoever he revealed to you, you know, that do. Hallelujah. And that hold on to. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you. I give you all the praise and all the glory for this series, that we may know him and that we may understand him. And help us, O Lord, to understand who the Christ truly is. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's a mouthful. You know, and I just put it out there and praise the Lord. We love everybody. No matter which way you believe it, the Lord loves you. He died for you. No matter which way you understand it, it's by revelation. If you understand it different than I do, hey, great. Praise the Lord. Whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to you, that's what you hold on to. But it's the way I understand it, this way I believe it, and I've searched it out for many years, and this is the way it is. But we do never deny the Father nor the Son. The Father has his role, Holy Son has his role, Holy Spirit has his role, but it's still one God, and Father of us all, and one Lord Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit that is with us today. Now I pray that this revelation that is hidden, unless given to us by the Father, will come to each and everyone, not for argument, not for controversy, but for understanding. Well, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. God bless everyone. Good morning and good afternoon. I will yield my mic. Praise the Lord.